What's up, guys? You are now joining Children of the Watch, a Star Wars show. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and I'm flying solo tonight because Mac is on a business trip and he could not be here tonight. He misses all of you, but I can't wait because this is going to be a fun live show where we're just hanging out, talking about all the crazy events that happened today on Disney Plus Day and what didn't happen. But we do have a lot to talk about with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Even though we did not get a trailer like we thought we were going to get, there's still a lot that we've got to talk about in terms of that sizzle reel that we witnessed and all the concept art. We're going to dive deep into that. And this is one of those things that if you are typically a podcast listener, this is going to be a good one to watch over on the YouTube. So if you haven't made the jump to YouTube, that's okay. But this is going to be a good one to watch because we're actually going to be showing the concept art on the screen, talking about it with the guests. This is going to be a really interactive show, kind of different than what we typically do with the podcast, where it's a very formal type show. Since I am flying solo tonight, I figured that my guests could be you guys, the people watching. So if you're watching, whether you're on Twitter or on YouTube, the best way to is probably just to jump from Twitter over onto YouTube so that way we can see each other's comments and stuff. And you guys are like the extra host tonight. So I can't wait because there's a lot to talk about. And like I said at the beginning, there's some things that we're not going to talk about because some things did not happen like we thought they would with Disney Plus Day. So if you are kind of confused what I'm even talking about, well, we thought that we were going to be getting like a full-fledged Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer today. Like, that was the rumor going around by Tuesday of this week. The rumor was like, hey, this is going to be more than just a behind-the-scenes thing. This is going to be like legit. We're going to see a trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then it starts building up. So yeah, that's exactly what we're doing, Heather. We are talking about all the crumbs. She said on the chat, let's talk about our crumbs. So yeah, let's talk about it. So I would say like we thought that we would be getting like some show announcements, some behind the scenes stuff, maybe for Andor, maybe some more behind the scenes stuff for the Book of Boba Fett. And then we thought that we were getting a trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And didn't happen. We just got like a behind the scenes thing for Obi-Wan Kenobi. We did get a really cool thing about Boba Fett called Under the Helmet, which is on Disney Plus. I watched that this morning when I was running on the treadmill. It's really good. If you haven't watched that yet, it's definitely worth a watch. And it's just talking about the legacy of Boba Fett and more of a real world, his origins of how he was created, why he was created for The Empire Strikes Back, and how the original concept for Mandalorians was like these Imperial super commandos. And it gets into all of that and the actors who have played Boba Fett and just the legacy of that character and why he's so cool. It's a really cool documentary style thing that I definitely think everybody should check out. I thought that was a great way to start off things for Disney Plus Day. And then it kind of, I mean, let's be honest, let's be for real. It kind of went downhill from there. I would say the first misstep for Disney on this day was that there was no live stream for this. Like it was just like a Twitter thread where they were announcing everything, which I thought was kind of odd. It was very confusing for people, like even in the moment when they're just tweeting out like all these different announcements for things, people were still confused of like, where's the live stream panel at? Right? Like, I thought this was going to be a live stream thing because, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, Star Trek has done like a live panel show to announce all their new things. You can't be outdone by Star Trek. Come on, guys. DC, you know, they do the fandom thing where it's like an all-day thing, and you go to the link and you watch the live stream, and they spread it out really well, and they kind of let you know, like, hey, this is coming up next. There was none of that. There was none of that. Micah Ogle says, hi there, Alex. Cool hat. Thanks. This is from him, actually. Shout out Hope Church, Las Vegas. So yeah, there was none of that. There was no live stream panel. There was no, it's just a Twitter thread where they were releasing all their announcements in one Twitter thread that Patrick Dempsey got tagged in everything, because like he was one of the first things announced and they tagged him, and he just kept getting in those Twitter threads for each announcement, and they tagged the wrong Will Smith. So it's like this other guy who's just a dude named Will Smith who has that handle. He got tagged in all of the tweets too. I thought that was pretty great, but it was very confusing. So I hope for next year they consider doing a live stream like they did last year. Maybe that wasn't considered Disney Plus Day, where we got all those huge show announcements, which led us to end up changing our name from The Mandalorian Watch to Children of the Watch, because we realized, hey, this is getting much bigger than just The Mandalorian now. This is now going to be like, here is all the Star Wars TV shows on Disney Plus. And it was a live stream. And then this year they didn't do that. So I'm hoping if they do announce like, hey, we're going to do a Disney Plus Day next year and we're going to have huge announcements, I hope they consider doing a live stream panel of some sort and maybe giving us a schedule of like, hey, here's when Pixar is, here's when Marvel is, here's when Star Wars is, so that, you know, we're not all on the edge waiting this whole entire time. I think that was part of the reason like people got so disappointed and upset, is because you've got them waiting, following a Twitter thread that's really confusing. You don't know when it's coming. It's just, I don't know. It could have been better for a major billion-dollar company in Disney. I think that, yeah, it could have been better. And I know there's like now this debate on Star Wars Twitter of like, hey, you shouldn't be disappointed. You set yourself up for this. And I think there is some truth to that. However, I'm also not going to defend a multi-billion dollar company in terms of, yeah, I can say I'm a little disappointed when you hyped up that there was going to be all these major show announcements and there wasn't a lot of stuff. Part of that is that the Obi-Wan Kenobi sizzle reel actually got leaked the day before. And it wasn't like a leaker leaked it. It was Disney themselves accidentally released it on one of their YouTube channels, and it spread like wildfire. So everybody saw it. And then it started coming out like, oh no, there's going to be a trailer as well. Like all the scoopers were saying there's going to be a trailer in addition to that sizzle reel, because that sizzle reel was supposed to be what the Disney investor saw last year. So it's like not even a new thing. That's just something that investors saw last year. And so all the scoopers are saying, okay, you're getting that tomorrow plus a trailer. I think had we had just got the sizzle reel today, I think we would have lost our minds at that. We lost our minds yesterday, but then we also thought like there was a trailer coming. So there was all this buildup, all this hype. It's okay if you feel disappointed from it. It's okay that you feel disappointed. There's nothing wrong with feeling disappointed about that. But also I'm really excited for what we saw in that sizzle reel. And that's really what we're here to talk about tonight, is Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I think is going to be the best show ever. I cannot wait for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And we're going to talk about it because just that concept art has got my mind going in a million different directions about where this show could go, what's going to happen on this show. This is probably the most anticipated Star Wars thing for me since The Force Awakens. I was incredibly excited about The Mandalorian. Obviously, that's how we got our start, was The Mandalorian watch. And The Mandalorian is very special to me. But there's something about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show and the concept of that show, them bringing Hayden Christensen back as Darth Vader. I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be an incredible show. And I think it's going to blow people away. Because now the people who grew up with the prequels are adults now. And so, like, kind of that stigma of the prequels is gone. And, like, the prequels are cool again. The prequels were always cool, but, like, it's okay to like the prequels now. And so, like, to see Obi-Wan Kenobi exactly in the middle from the prequels to A New Hope, to see that transition from the prequels to A New Hope is going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool to see Ewan McGregor back and Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, confirmed in the show. Kingo from The Eternals is going to be in the show. I can't wait for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I know people are disappointed that, hey, we just got a sizzle reel out of this today, and really it came yesterday. And that's okay. It's okay. Like I said, it's okay to be disappointed because they really hyped up what was going to be on this show or Disney Plus Day, and it didn't happen. Heather says, me too, I'm ready to lose my mind at seeing Obi-Wan's weathered face beneath a hood for the first time. Oh, me too. Me too. I can't wait for that. She also says, praise the maker. It's okay to be a prequel fan. The past 20 years of my fandom are finally justified. I agree. Randy says, good friend Randy Cass says, more Vader, which, yeah, I can't wait. I'm hoping we get more Rogue One Vader, just annihilating people. Vader in his prime. I think it's going to be awesome. I did want to show you guys, and again, if you're listening on the podcast, the link to the YouTube show is going to be in the podcast link. This is a good one to watch because I'm going to be showing a lot of pictures on this one, and I want you guys to be able to follow along. This isn't like a typical show. This is a live stream. We're just hanging out. But I did want to show you guys this picture, this image from one of the like final videos that Disney Plus tweeted out to kind of wrap up the day. And it kind of confirms that there were going to be more things. There was going to, I mean, probably be an Andor sizzle reel. There's probably going to be a Bad Batch season 2 announcement because look at this. Take a look at this. This is like at the very beginning of the video. You can see the Andor card right there. You can see the Bad Batch season 2 card. And we didn't get anything on that. Like nothing. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if like for whatever reason, like last second, they just decided to, let's not talk about that right now. Let's wait. Which would kind of go along with their philosophy that we've talked about a lot on this show, that they really only like to promote one thing at a time for Lucasfilm. They really only like promoting one thing at a time. Like when it's Star Wars Visions, it's only about Star Wars Visions. When it's the Lego Halloween special, it's only about the Lego Halloween special. When it's the Book of Boba Fett, it's only about the Book of Boba Fett. And I think in hindsight, if this is the way that they were going to go, they probably should have waited then for the Book of Boba Fett trailer for today instead of on Monday, or last Monday where, oh, they're releasing it early. That means we might get some more things on November 12th. And as you can see from this image, Andor, the Bad Batch Season 2, probably something that they were going to announce. Then for whatever reason, they pulled back. And there were a lot of people that I trust as good scoopers. They don't lie. They don't make things up. Who said, no, there was going to be more. And for whatever reason, there wasn't. So it's kind of odd, but I'm going to be happy with what we got because there could have been nothing. I mean, there could have been like not even that sizzle reel that leaked yesterday. we're lucky to even have that. So that's kind of where I'm at with this, is I'm happy with that sizzle reel, and we're going to talk about it. So let's talk about it, because I don't want to spend time on anything negative. That's not kind of who we are. We're a very positive-minded show. It's okay to be disappointed, but let's talk about the positives, and that's Obi-Wan Kenobi and all that cool concept art that we saw. And there's a lot to talk about with that. So let's talk about it as I get the branding back up. Yeah, so Micah says, the prequels haven't changed. It's cool to like them, but that doesn't make episode 2 a good movie. Yeah, that's still probably my least favorite Star Wars movie, but it's still Star Wars, so I love it. Yes, I agree, Toger. There's enough negativity in the world already. So, yeah, let's talk about the positive things. And that's all the cool stuff we saw in that sizzle reel. So it starts off with Ewan and Deborah Chow talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Deborah Chow is the one that directed all the really cool episodes in season 1 of The Mandalorian. She directed episode 3 of The Mandalorian, which was a great episode. And then the penultimate episode of season 1, she also directed that. And she's a really great director. She's directing Obi-Wan Kenobi. And you get to see Ewan back as well. And I thought that was just incredible. I'm so excited that he's back because he loves playing Obi-Wan. It's just so nice to see actors loving playing the part that they play. I think that's really, really, really cool. So it's cool to see that. And then they kind of talk a little bit and hint a little bit about the story. And basically they talk about how he's got nothing else to live for except protecting Luke Skywalker. But then Deborah Chow talks about how that could change. Like, that's our starting point. But in terms of what's going to happen on the show, maybe he's doing something a little bit different, something that kind of takes him away from his mission and from Luke Skywalker. My theory is this. I think it starts off with him protecting Luke Skywalker. I think we get possibly an Inquisitor that realizes he is there protecting someone, kind of like Maul. And I'm betting they're kind of regretting putting Maul in Star Wars Rebels. I love Star Wars Rebels, one of my top 5 Star Wars favorite things of all time. I love Star Wars Rebels, but you gotta think that they're probably regretting doing that whole Maul storyline with Obi-Wan, because that probably would have been a thing for this show. And if you're not familiar with that, Darth Maul, still alive. We saw that in Solo, if you're not familiar with the animated content. And he meets his final demise against Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine in Star Wars Rebels. Once Maul kind of realizes, hey, you're here protecting somebody. I think we get a very similar situation, but with an Inquisitor that kind of maybe finds out something is going on Tatooine. And I think Obi-Wan leaves Tatooine to chase that Inquisitor to take him out, because you can't get that information back to Darth Vader, right? And in doing so, in taking out the Inquisitor, I think kind of alerts Darth Vader to, like, wait a second, there's a Jedi back on the scene. He figures out it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Even though he doesn't get that information about Luke Skywalker, he now knows Obi-Wan is still alive. And then that brings the conflict in with those two. That's what I'm thinking. I could be way off. Typically I am. But that's kind of where my thoughts are right now. I've seen a lot of this. This is a good point that I think we need to talk about. It says, Guinness Lumberjack says, it cheapens episode 3 and 4 duel to me. I understand where you're coming from. It doesn't cheapen it to me. It doesn't cheapen it to me at all. In fact, I think it heightens the episode 4 duel. Maybe not the episode 3 duel. I understand where you're coming from, but I think it puts a new spin on things. Because here's the deal. At the end of Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan just leaves Anakin there burning and dying, right? He's just dying. And, like, he kind of walks away assuming that he's going to die. And from all accounts, he thinks that he is dead. So how does he, by episode 4, realize Darth Vader is who he is? Now, yeah, I guess he could have used context clues. But I'm excited. I mean, you can't do an Obi-Wan Kenobi show that's set in the dark times without Darth Vader. And I understand they don't necessarily have to come into direct conflict, but I'm okay with it. And I hope you come around. I still think it could be a world between worlds, Guinness Lumberjack says. I think that's possible. Maybe some sort of force vision. Toger says, I don't think they'd put the duel in there willy-nilly. It's going to add something. It has to. I agree with that. I think it's going to be, once it's all said and done, I think you're going to end up really liking it. I really do. So, okay, let's look at these pictures. Let's look at the very first concept art here. Let me get this comment down. So, if again, you're listening on the podcast, this is a good one to go and watch on the YouTube because we're going to be analyzing this concept art, all the pieces of concept art, and breaking it down to levels beyond science. All right, so let's look at this first one. It is Obi-Wan Kenobi himself on a what is considered a Tatooine camel. I believe they're called, I forget how to pronounce them. They start with an E. Opi. I don't know how to pronounce them. But anyways, we see them in episode 1. We see them in episode 3. I don't know if we see them in The Rise of Skywalker with that old lady. But he's riding one, and he looks a little older. He's got some gray at the temples there. His beard's a little longer, a little grayer. I'm kind of interested to see if that's the case in the actual show and not just the concept art. Micah says, looks more like old Ben, and I would agree with that. Yeah, he does look a little more like old Ben Kenobi, and I would assume he's going by Ben Kenobi, right? Like, he hasn't heard the name Obi-Wan Kenobi since all before Luke Skywalker was born, so I'm assuming the whole show, he should be called Ben. Heather says, this is a tangent and not something they'll have time for, but what about seeing BB Leia? Oh, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Yeah, I'm definitely down. So yeah, I would assume... Yeah, we're starting off on Tatooine because we're seeing Uncle Owen and we're seeing Aunt Beru. Joel Edgerton's coming back as Uncle Owen. The actress for Beru is coming back. The same ones who played them in episode 2, which I think is phenomenal. And I think there needs to be some sort of conflict between Ben Kenobi and Uncle Owen because there's clearly something going on in episode 4 where Owen does not like Ben. He's just a crazy old wizard. So something, you know, there's some sort of conflict that needs to occur between Ben Kenobi and Uncle Owen where Uncle Owen doesn't feel safe around him. Brian asked a great question. He says, do we know how many years this takes place after 3 before 4? Yes, exactly 10 years after 3. That's where we're at. And I guess 9 years before episode 4. Great question. Great question. So, yeah. Cool concept there. Old Ben. Loving it. Loving it. I love Star Wars. And I love Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I love the prequels. All right. Let's look at this second one. I just lost 2 viewers because I said that. Okay. Let's look at this second piece of concept art. With the stormtroopers. Kind of a greenish hallway, huge hallway, very imperial. Lots of stormtroopers. I'm assuming this is like Coruscant. Somewhere inside Coruscant. Maybe it's the old Jedi temples. I think this concept survived EU. In EU, Palpatine converted the Jedi temples into his own palace. An imperial palace, and I'm pretty sure that concept survived into the EU or into the new canon. So this could very well be on Coruscant. This could be the Imperial Palace. This could be the old Jedi temples where it's now all Imperial. And we see all these cool stormtroopers, and it's very green Wizard of Oz vibes here. Wizard of Oz vibes. Huge is an understatement, says Toger. Yes, I agree. I agree. And then Micah says, I need a small bar fight or something happening at the cantina. Also a run-in with Jabba or the Underworld. I'm down for the first part. I don't know. The Jabba thing, I don't know if we have enough time in the show for that. I'm down for it. I just don't know. I think this is going to deal with more Empire Force stuff, as we're seeing from this picture here with the concept art. I don't know. We'll see, though. Randy asks, how much Luke are we going to get? That's a great question, Randy. I would say maybe the first and last episode, we're going to see Luke. I don't know if he's going to be like traveling with Obi-Wan. That would be weird. that's not happening. But I would say we'll see him in the first episode. He's going to be 10-year-old Luke, right? But back to what Heather said, I could see a scenario where Luke or Obi-Wan's got to go talk to Bail Organa on Alderaan. And he runs into 10-year-old Leia. Just a casual run-in, not like a huge story thing. Just like, hey, there's a little girl playing. That's Leia, Luke's twin sister from Star Wars. How do you like that? How do you like that? Heather says, save the Hutts for Book of Boba Fett. I agree with Heather. I agree with Brother. Brian's got a theory. Maybe he wants to train a young Luke, and that's what alerts the Inquisitor and upsets Owen. I like that. That is a solid theory, Brian. That's why we do this live stream. This is why we're hanging out right now. Meeting of the minds. Oh, that's a good one, Brian. Maybe he wants to train a young Luke, and that's what alerts the Inquisitor and upsets Owen. I like that a lot. Solid theory, as Randy said. Smithy says, could be the Fortress Inquisitor. I'm not even going to try that. Yes, it could be the Fortress for the Inquisitors from Jedi Fallen Order, which is like a moon right next to Mustafar, like Vader's got his castle on Mustafar, and then I guess the Inquisitors get like a moon near Mustafar to have their own place. Could be. I like that. Let's go to the next piece of concept art, concept art 3. We're going to talk to some Inquisitors since we're talking about them right now. There they are. And if you kind of look and zoom in on that Inquisitor, it kind of looks like the second sister a little bit from Jedi Fallen Order, which is really exciting. I mean, we pretty much, I want to say last year, we heard lots of rumors about Inquisitors, people with lightsabers, red lightsabers, a lot of people playing Inquisitors. And if you're not familiar with who Inquisitors are, those are like basically Jedi hunters that they talk about in that sizzle reel. And they're trained by Vader. I wouldn't say like they're on the level of a Sith. They're like below that. They're kind of like Asajj Ventress in the Clone Wars, in the sense of not quite like a full Sith or anything, but they are dangerous. You don't want to mess with them. We see them a lot in Star Wars Rebels, Jedi Fallen Order. Really cool characters. I love the Inquisitors, and I'm glad that we're getting them in this show. I think it's going to be great. Randy is right. That does look like an early concept of Kylo's ship to me. Big First Order vibes here. I could see Kylo really digging this ship. Little Ben Solo loving this stuff because he's emo and sad. But I love this concept art. Love this concept art of the Inquisitor, two stormtroopers behind them, coming out of that very Kylo looking ship. Love it. Love it. I mean, it's so good. Let's go to the next piece of concept art. Looks like some sort of planet that we've never seen before. I'm not sure where this is. I'd love to hear what you guys think this place is. Very unique. I don't think we've ever seen this planet before. This is a new planet. The roofs curve upwards on this planet. They're big into geometry on this planet. Guinness Lumberjack says, does Obi-Wan tame a crate dragon? That'd be cool. He at least mimics its voice. Yeah, I don't know where this planet is, but I'm digging the vibe of the planet. Toger's right. It looks like it's been raining recently too. I agree. Looks like it's a little rainy planet. Maybe this planet's on Florida. I don't know. We'll see. Kind of like that, though. I like that place. Let's look at the next piece of concept art. I'm pretty sure I know where this is. I know where this place is. This looks like Coruscant to me. And I hope, I pray to the Force that this is Coruscant. I think this is Coruscant. I think we're going back. And oh my gosh. If we go back to Coruscant, my prequel heart couldn't take it anymore. If there's one thing that I really, if like they said, hey, Alex, what's the one thing you want in the sequel trilogy? It's Coruscant. I like it. City planet. The whole city is one, or the whole planet's one giant city. Love that. Yeah, everybody's agreeing with me. Definitely looks like Coruscant. Smell the death sticks from here, says Brian. Yeah. Looks seedy. Looks a little like that Rogue One Jedhaw street, but on Coruscant. Heather asks, is this still like a 6-month episode series? I think you mean 6-episode series. As far as we know, I'm pretty sure it's 6 episodes. I think it's premiering on May 4th. That's my theory. So yeah, I think that's Coruscant. Let's look at the next one. This one's very interesting. I don't know what this means, but it could mean something very big. Airspeeders. Snowspeeders. I don't think they're on Hoth. Obviously, because Hoth is like an Empire Strikes Back thing. I don't know where they're at. Looks like they're inside of a cave. I think this means Obi-Wan might meet up with the Rebel Alliance. Maybe this is where he meets up with Bail Organa. Maybe Bail Organa is hiding in the cave, setting up Rebel cells. Maybe he sees little baby 10-year-old Leia with all these snowspeeders. Yeah, I think this is early rebellion, Randy. Randy asked, the early rebellion? I think so. I think we got a little bit of early rebellion going on here. Love a good snowspeeder / airspeeder. One of my favorite things on Battlefront is to be able to fly one of those things. Ooh, how many of you just love that level on Shadows of the Empire where you got to fly that at the beginning? Pretty cool. Loved it. All right, so airspeeders, let's look at this next piece of concept art of Vader in what I assume is Vader's castle. Randy says, bring your daughter to work day at the Rebel Alliance. Yep. And then Heather says, in the Leia Princess of Alderaan book, Bail has all these secret bases. One is on Crait, I believe. Oh, how cool would that be if that was on Crait? Imagine how mad people would be. I would love it. I would love how mad people would be. Yeah, this is Vader looking at some sort of hologram in what I assume is his castle on Mustafar. You can kind of see the orange in the background there. I'm wondering if he's looking at a hologram of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's look at the next piece of concept art, which is like just the same thing, but zoomed in a little bit. Vader definitely sitting on his throne, which is really cool. He's got like this throne thing going on. Again, this looks like Vader's castle from Rogue One. I'm loving that. Huge. Love it. Who could he be looking at? That is the question. And then the last piece of concept art here is Obi-Wan Kenobi hooded fighting Darth Vader in maybe what is Vader's castle. Maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader are fighting in Vader's castle, which would be awesome. Number one, because they're back on Mustafar, right? Number two, we nailed, absolutely nailed our logo and branding for the show then, if that's the case. Props to us when we do the Kenobi logo for the show. Woohoo! That would be cool if this fight is taking place on Mustafar. I know there's some theories of like, maybe this is the world between worlds. Maybe this is like a metaphysical battle. I think you're wrong. I think this is a legit battle. And I hope that you end up liking it, because I understand why you don't like that concept if you don't like them fighting in between episode 3 and 4. But I love it, and I wish they would fight every day until episode 4. It's kind of like this is so Star Wars though. Think about it. In the Clone Wars cartoon, you get the sense, right, that Obi-Wan Kenobi has never met General Grievous in Revenge of the Sith. But in the Clone Wars cartoon, he literally fights him every other episode. And I could understand where you might think, okay, when you see that battle happen between Grievous and Obi-Wan, it's cheapened a little bit. Yeah, but it's Grievous. It's not Darth Vader. Let's see Darth Vader in his prime fight Obi-Wan Kenobi exiting his prime. Basically, let's get a cool version of Episode 4 duel. That's all we're asking. Let's get a cool version of, like, let's actually see Obi-Wan Kenobi fight Darth Vader instead of just that. Just the thrust of the lightsabers. Maybe a quick twirl from Obi-Wan. A better version of the Episode 4 fight. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. I think this confirms that Vader and Obi-Wan are definitely gonna fight. It's awesome that Hayden Christensen's coming back for the show. What do you guys think before we wrap up here? I mean, what are your like crazy thoughts for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show? We just went through all the concept art. If you're just now joining us on the YouTube, you can go back in time and watch that. This has been a fun one for the live show, I think. In the chat, they're talking about how in the Clone Wars show, Anakin never actually met General Grievous. Like, anytime General Grievous would come on screen, Anakin would conveniently not be there because of that one line from Revenge of the Sith of like, General Grievous, I thought you'd be taller. I don't think we're going to those levels in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show where it cheapens episode 4 any. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Toger, I'm stoked that Hayden's coming back. I agree with that. And I mean, like, Hayden's in the suit, you know, and I assume we're going to see Hayden out of the suit, like, kind of like we did, had a shot of Darth Vader in Rogue One. I think we'll see him out of the suit, very similar situation like that. Something we're not talking about, Ian McDiarmid coming back as Emperor Palpatine, probably, right? I mean, I would assume Palpatine and Vader talk at some point in the series. I would assume Palpatine's back. I'm not confirming that, but I'm not denying it. I think Palpatine could be in this show as well. I think Palpatine could be in this show as well. I'm curious to see if any other Jedi are in this show. I don't think Ahsoka should be in the show. Save Ahsoka for Ahsoka. She didn't need to be in this show. Because then it becomes about Ahsoka and Vader's relationship, which I hope they cover in the Ahsoka show. This is about Obi-Wan and Vader. Not Obi-Wan and Anakin. Obi-Wan and Vader. Which, think about Obi-Wan in episode 4. Of course, we did not realize Darth was a title. We thought Darth was like part of the name. But now that we know that it's a title, when you go back and watch episode 4, and Obi-Wan consistently calls Darth Vader Darth instead of Vader, it's like almost like he's mocking him for like taking that title. Like, I'm not even going to call you by your name now, your new name. I'm just going to call you by the title, Darth. Love it. Obi-Wan's so sassy. He's a sassy guy. Now, Matt couldn't be here, but I will give you his instant reaction when this leaked yesterday, because it's hilarious. It's just like one line each, like each reaction he has is one line. He says, okay, so I sent the leak to him yesterday. This is what Mac had to say, who could not make it because he's on a business trip and he's not back yet. And so he doesn't have all his equipment and stuff. He said, after I sent this to him yesterday, okay, there was a lot there. Now say that in your mind as Mac's voice. Inquisitors. That's my Mac impersonation. Other worlds. Love Mac. And then at the end, he says, Coruscant! Exclamation point. And then the final thing he says, also just so good to hear him talk about being reunited with Hayden. And I agree. I think this is the most anticipated show for me. I think it's coming out May 4th. It's okay we didn't get a trailer, but it's also okay if you were disappointed that we didn't get a trailer. Because honestly, I think Disney botched the marketing of Disney Plus Day. A lot of build up. Some of that's on us. Most of it's on them. So it's okay. Cool sizzle reel. I enjoyed breaking it down to levels beyond scientific with all of you. This has been a lot of fun. If you're watching, please like this video, share it with others. Probably going to do some more live streams because it's just fun hanging out with you guys. Last questions before we jump off here, but please like this video. That goes a long way. And subscribe. If you're a podcast person, please subscribe, because I would say like maybe 10% of the podcast listeners have actually subscribed. Subscribe, please. We're trying to get to 2,000 before the Book of Boba Fett premieres. Brian says, as we wrap up here, Palps definitely could be if that is Coruscant. I agree. Micah says, in your mind, what establishes the tension in the show? Nothing is very exciting about watching a guy get older for 19 years in the desert. Is he perhaps haunted by Vader or something? Very possible. I also, there's something that we haven't talked about at all, and that's Qui-Gon Jinn. I think Qui-Gon's going to be in the show as a Force ghost. And part of the element of the show is Obi-Wan discovering how to become a Force ghost and Qui-Gon leading him there. So I think this is going to be a very Force-centric, Force-heavy Star Wars show, which is right up my alley. I love anything to do with the Jedi, Sith, the Force. Bring it on. Bring it on. Couple last comments here. Danielle says, got here just in time for Max Insights, and it was absolutely worth it. Max Insights are always worth it. Jessica says, episodes 1, 2, 3 had the best lightsaber battles. 100% agree. Episode 1, the Duel of Fates. How are you going to top that? Like, I know the episode 3 duel, pretty good. I mean, almost tops it. But when Darth Maul whips out that double-bladed lightsaber, 9-year-old Alex, mind blown. Toger says, they should have used this series to set up Obi-Wan having a descendant, and therefore Rey was a Kenobi. Oops, sorry, my Reylo bitterness is showing. Satine, the Duchess of Mandalore, was Obi-Wan Kenobi's girlfriend. And that's a story I still hope we get. I saw someone speculate on Twitter today, and I forgot who, but basically was saying, what if Obi-Wan goes by the name of Ben because that's what Satine called him? It's some sort of pet name when they were on the run together on Mandalore. And that story that we don't have, basically when Obi-Wan was a teenager and she was a teenager, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan went to go protect Satine from basically some Death Watch people. I don't think Death Watch was formed yet. It's kind of murky, but they were there for a year. And Obi-Wan and Satine fell in love, and then she died because Darth Maul killed her. Spoiler alert. Randy says he's going to talk to old Qui for sure. Yeah, Qui-Gon's coming, I think. Oh, yay! Lady Arrow says, podcast listener, now subscribe. Thank you, Lady Arrow. Please like. Guinness Lumberjack says Corky Kreese might be the love child of Satine and Obi-Wan. Probably is. Episode 6 throne room fight is hard to beat. I agree. That is a good one. The emotional stakes of that, probably the highest for me. Maybe not best choreographed, but the emotional stakes, pretty good. Toger says, yes, they had it right there. It would have been so easy. Yep. So this has been fun, guys. Thanks for joining us. And again, Mac was on a business trip. Could not be here. He misses everybody. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you check this out on the YouTube and subscribe. We want to get to 2,000. Make sure you check out our merch store, keepthewatch.com, for all sorts of Children of the Watch t-shirts. We've got the Cloning is So Hot Right Now t-shirt with Thrawn and Palpatine on it. It's hilarious. It's a knock on Zoolander. Then we also have Vanth Refrigeration Mos Pelgo Tatooine, which is a combination for Cobb Vanth and The Office. So if you know somebody who loves The Office and The Mandalorian, that t-shirt and hoodie is definitely for them. So make sure you check that out on keepthewatch.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. This has been fun. I know maybe some people were disappointed, but man, it was worth it just for this. It was worth it just for this. We are almost to the Book of Boba Fett, where we're going to have two shows a week. We're going to have our weekly breakdown, where we break down every single scene, every single line of the show. And then we also will have our voicemail hotline episodes. And if you're on the Patreon, you will get a bonus voicemail hotline episode every week. So that's 3 episodes a week if you're a patron member. When the Book of Boba Fett premieres, we are about to be there, everybody. We are almost there. So make sure you are subscribed, you like the YouTube video, all that. Can't wait. Be sure to be checking out stuff, because we're going to be preparing for the Book of Boba Fett. We're going to talk about his time in the Clone Wars, talk about his time in the Rebellion era, and then talk about where the show's gonna go. So, see you guys, and as always, keep the watch.